Vince Gill and Ranger Doug Green are both multiple Grammy winners. At last count, I believe Vince Gill had 20 to his name. But now they have teamed up with some of Nashville's recording studio elite for something special called the Time Jumpers. As the Associated Press put it, it's hard to imagine a more skilled band playing Western swing country. Pick a country or bluegrass artist, past or present, and it's a good bet someone in the group has worked with them. They're so adroit, they don't even rehearse. Now they have their first studio album out from Rounder Records, and I'm delighted that it has brought both Vince Gill and Ranger Doug here to talk with us today. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, my name.
So is it true you don't have to rehearse?
Well, we play every Monday night at a little club in Nashville called Third and Lindsley, and I guess that's our rehearsal of sorts. But from time to time, we'll... With 11 people in the band, it's just impossible with schedules to find a time where everybody can go show up somewhere and figure something out.
And a lot of guest artists. You've had Norah Jones, Sheryl Crow, Robert Plant, Elvis Costello, Bonnie Raitt, Reba McEntire, Dolly Parton. That's a wide range.
It's a fun place. You know, everybody comes down there that loves this kind of music. It's the kind of music that not very many people play very much anymore, especially today. And the way country music is trending is certainly the opposite of what we do. And we just have a good time down there. And it's a fun place on a Monday night in Nashville because it's not a big night for Nashville. You know, it's pretty slow. And we found that it makes people that really love this kind of music come out of the woodwork.
Well, isn't Western swing totally distinctive from country music?
Not totally, no. The roots are in the same area. I mean, they all started in the same place, but it's developed as a subgenre, you could say, a completely of its own. It was a bunch of fiddle players and guitar pickers back in the 30s started to hear Dorsey Brothers, and they said, well, we'll put that kind of music to string instruments, and that's how it began.
The Dorsey Brothers, jazz.
Yeah.
People like
yeah.
Milton Brown and mm-hmm. Bob Wills.
Bob Wills.
Right.
They introduced jazz into the country tradition. But
right.
I remember when I was in the record business, people in country music always complained when you said country and Western because they said these are totally different things. Only city boys ever call it country and Western.
Well, I kind of wish they still would call it country and Western myself. I think that it, to me, it conjured up the perfect image of all the things that it was. I think a lot of people historically have run from the tag of country or Western, either one, and they thought that it had a perception that they didn't really want, you know, to be thought of, I guess. And I think some of the best music was in that era, the 40s and 50s and 60s. And the Western swing stuff was the result of so many people in that era that played swing music, played big band music. All the musicians played swing music, and it was even country music in its infancy in the 40s and 50s had a swing element to it because the musicians were of that ilk.
I hear Django Reinhardt and Stephan Grappelli
sure.
in some of this
sure.
music. But the last Western swing musician of any note that I remember was Doug Somm. That was a while back. So has it kind of – are you reviving something that had kind of died?
I don't know. I think there's
think
a group
so.
Like Asleep at the Wheel would be a great example
okay.
of the one group that really has carried this music forward since
for sure.
Bob Wills' passing.
So tell us about how your group got together.
Well,
had you performed much before, the two of you?
Oh, we've performed a little bit. of course, I play with Riders in the Sky as my main job, and we've been together 35 years. We used to join some of the guys at the Opry backstage between shows or between spots and just play Western swing because we loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And so a bunch of those guys got together at a little club called the Station Inn, started playing on Monday nights, and the two and three fiddles and steel guitar and that wonderful Western swing sound. And I wasn't there at the very beginning, but year or two after the band began, I'd come down to see them. They'd invite me up to sing, and eventually they said, well, bring your guitar and play that rhythm, you know, that big band rhythm that you play. And I started playing the big band rhythm, and eventually they said, well, if you're just going to come every week, you might as well be part of the group. So that's and it just built and built as different people moved on and left the group for one reason or another. Another would join, and eventually this guy, Mr. Gill, came strolling in from time to time, just like me, and then we'd invite him up to sing. And, well, gosh, if I had to be somewhere that weekend with the Riders or that Monday with the Riders, well, he'd fill my guitar chair. He'd be the sub. Or if Andy, our other lead guitar player, did, well, he'd fill in for Andy. And eventually a couple of people left, and we said, how about it? And he said, oh, yeah. And we said, oh, yeah.
Well, how do you work out the harmonies? You just fall into your parts naturally?
These people are pros.
I think so, yeah. I mean, yeah. The level of musicianship with the 11 people in this band is pretty mind-boggling. And I would love to see the discography, the entirety of the discography of this 11 people and the contributions it's made completely to this music, to any kind of music. And I mean, a lot of it's orchestrated, you know, as a big band would be. It's all worked out. It's not written. You know, we don't really sit and read, you know, notes to play, but we work out, like, the fiddles play three-part harmony most of the time and then break off and improvise in any way that they see fit. And same with myself and Andy and Paul Franklin, who play steel guitar. We'll play a lot of things ensemble and three-part harmony and then break off and do our improvisational type stuff. And then the harmonies vocally are on some stuff and some things are not. And it's loose enough that it's fun, but it's also hard enough that you really have to pay attention.
Well, we see a lot more of this in straight jazz. Like there's the Village Vanguard orchestra that whoever's in town wants to play with on Monday nights, the same kind of idea here. But can anyone who you respect just come in and say, I want to sit in?
Yeah, for the
pretty
most
much,
part.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had some of the best and a few that haven't gone quite so well. The fun thing is on a Monday night, we have a pretty eclectic group that comes from all over the country. We'll have people from France and have people from,
South
Sweden,
Africa.
Yeah, I mean, just
Sweden,
all over the world, and
Japan.
Musicians. And we find that they want to get up and sing a tune or two. And we had the Wiggles come in one night, you know, the group.
The old Wiggles or the new Wiggles?
I guess the new Wiggles.
No, it was the old ones who were breaking in the new Wiggles.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
it was the originals
and, they got
and the new ones.
And they knew some Bob Wills music. They knew some Hank Williams music. And with the 11 of us, we can pretty much chime in on just about anything anybody wants to play.
Kenny Sears, one of your fiddlers, calls you Music Row's nightmare. Why?
I don't know.
Good question.
He's got a good sense of humor.
So where did the name The Time Jumpers come from?
Well, back one of the founders was a guy named Hoot Hester, who's still a very well-respected fiddler in Nashville. And apparently he was playing guitar on one session, and it got crossed up in the rhythm, which you can do sometimes, and got completely backwards and I had to stop the take, and everybody's laughing at him. And he said, well, I come from a long line of time jumpers. That's where it came from.
Now, it's interesting that this band forms in Nashville, because I always associate Western swing with Austin or
sure.
other parts of
mm-hmm.
Texas. Nashville as a straight country. Has the whole thing just merged over the years?
Oh, I guess so. I think the real attraction for me to be a part of this band is that it does so authentically. I think if there's a knock that I have on the majority of Nashville people that have tried to play Western swing, it never feels as authentic and as Austin. I mean, as authentic and honest as the way the Texas guys played it, the Playboys and those kinds of guys. And these guys play it with that dance and with that bounce, and it's so appealing to me because I'm from Oklahoma and grew up on that kind of music. And the fact that it feels right is what makes it so attractive to be a part of.
And the material that you're using, is this original, or are you drawing upon the Milton Brown, Bob Wills, and everybody who followed songbooks?
Well, I think that when we decided to make a record, I encouraged everybody to try to find a way to make this music authentic but original. And I said, if we can have our own songs that feel like the 40s, then we've got a leg up in that we're not rehashing the same old songs that everybody has done.
And we opened with something you wrote.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So
I think 9 of the 11 songs are original in this band and came from the different members. And that's what I'm proud of, is that you can take a song and write it today and make it sound 70 years old.
Well, we're going to go into a little break now, but we're going to play Nothing But the Blues. Where is that from?
That's a Kenny Sears song.
Uh-huh.
Great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And sounds like an old you know, an old Texas Playboy anthem to me.
Yeah, it does to me too.
Does it bother you when people say, uh-huh?
No, I love that. I do it on almost every song.
My guests are Vince Gill and Ranger Doug Green. We're talking about the Time Jumpers, their new album of Western Swing from Rounder Records. And here's Nothing But the Blues.
I woke up this morning, I couldn't hardly move. It ain't nothing but the blues. Doctor said that I should take a pill or two. It ain't nothing but the blues. When my baby left me, I thought that I would die, but I didn't. Everybody told me that I'd get over her, but I didn't. I went to see a...
We're back with Ranger Doug Green and Vince Gill, who are two of the major figures in a new Western Swing band. I don't know how many years you've been around, but it's called the Time Jumpers, and they have a CD out from Rounder Records. And we're listening to Yodel Blues, written by that very famous Western Swing composer, Johnny Mercer. So a lot of guys tried their hand at writing for Western Swing. Didn't the Gershwins, Cole Porter? Well, Cole Porter wrote Don't Fence Me In.
Yes, he wrote a couple, and Irving Berlin wrote Let's Go West Again. And there's a lot of those guys dipped their hands in it. Because Western music and Western Swing was tremendously popular in the 30s. It was part of America's popular culture, much more so than today.
Well, didn't Gene Autry once make more money at the box office than Fred Astaire and Clark Gable?
Oh, yeah. Gene Autry was like number two or three, or I guess it was three or four, of 1940, I think the year was. I mean, you know, Bing Crosby and Gene Autry, I mean, those were America's biggest stars in film and music.
So this is kind of like jazz played with country instruments. So
yes,
very
much
people
so.
Improvising on pedal steel and the fiddle instead of on a saxophone and a trumpet.
Exactly.
That's exactly it. And that's the only difference, really.
So mm-hmm. Is it easy for you to had you always improvised, the two of you?
Sure. I think I'm not a reader. I was not a trained musician, and everything I do is through my hearing and listening and by ear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a soloist, so...
You don't have to improvise. Because improvisation is the thing that really holds a lot of people back when they want to play jazz. It's not so easy. You're improvising on the chord changes?
And I think one of the reasons, one of the biggest reasons I enjoyed joining this band was that it furthered my need to be a better guitar player. And I'm playing over changes that I primarily never did. In the majority of the music that I played. So while I'm having the time of my life, I'm also becoming a better musician because of it.
Oh, we all are. It's really sharpened all of our skills.
Well, Ranger Doug, Vince mentioned he's from Oklahoma. You're from Michigan by way of Illinois, aren't you?
Yes.
Those aren't places I associate with country or Western swing.
Well, actually, the National Barn Dance out of Chicago was a bigger show than the Grand Ole Opry in the 30s and early 40s, till the Grand Ole Opry became the primary country music show. My mother's family were Finnish immigrants from northern Michigan, and they turned on the radio, and then that's all you heard was National Barn Dance and WLS out of Chicago. So they all played, sang, yodeled, sang harmony, you know, just happened to be in the piney woods of the north instead of in the hills of Tennessee.
Well, as I understand it, the only reason Grand Ole Opry became so big was because it was on a Clear Channel radio station.
Well, WLS was also.
So people would hear this music
hundreds of miles away,
all over the country. How did you come to form the Riders in the Sky?
Oh, we started that just because, very much like the Time Jumpers in a way, where there's a kind of music that was disappearing, this true cowboy music, Western music, like the Sons of the Pioneers played in the 70s. When we started, it was just in the nostalgia bins, and people had sort of forgotten it. And we said, music is too fun and too beautiful to die, and we just started playing it for fun, just like the Time Jumpers, and people enjoyed it. We had a lot of comedy in the show, thanks to our bass player, Too Slim, who's one of the funniest guys on earth. And between the comedy and the respect we showed and the original songs we did in the style, it caught on, and we've 35 years later, it may make it a career.
Do you think that inspired them in Toy Story 2 when they did Woody's Roundup?
Well, of course, we sang that.
Yeah.
It didn't inspire them.
I mean, but they invited you to do that.
Yes. When they wanted the band to play that theme, they knew there was only one band in America to do it, and that's us.
And Vince, you mentioned that you really started playing rock, didn't you?
Yeah, as a kid. A little bit of everything.
Prairie League, then Dire Straits.
Yeah, I never was a member of Dire Straits. I had the invitation from Mark to come and play music with him back in the late 80s, and unfortunately I turned
it down. So you turned it down.
Yeah.
Why?
It would have, in my mind, it would have, in a sense, admitted failure in my country music career, and I just could not do that to myself. I had too much belief in myself to admit that, and so I stuck it out and got lucky.
Yeah, you've sold over 22 million albums.
Pretty lucky.
Not until after that.
18 Country Music Foundation Awards. Entertainer of the Year twice, 20 Grammys, a member of the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yes, sir.
Do you think your fans know about your early rock history?
I think they do. Mm-hmm. I think with YouTube now, they know it all. Can't hide or nothing.
I think fans accept, you know, that we're people who come from all kinds of backgrounds. And it's part of what makes our music special. I mean, we're bringing all the elements we grew up with into this classic style and, mm-hmm. you know, making it our own in a way.
Because I was a young bluegrass musician before I started playing with Pure Prairie League and played with some of the true greats in bluegrass music, too. I just have always, I've loved music done by anybody that was great, you know, and if it was bluegrass, then I wanted to be around the best musicians I could ever be around. That's some of the best advice I got as a young man. My friend told me, said, don't ever be the best musician in the band. You won't ever learn anything. So I've spent my lifetime trying to surround myself with people that are far greater than I.
Well, isn't that more difficult these days? Many people are decrying the fact that country music has become something other than it was, and that it's really hard to get airplay for the more authentic kind of music.
I think that's true throughout its history, though, in all honesty. I think if you go back and look at country music in its entirety, there were periods of time where Eddie Arnold was a crooner, was a pop singer.
Yeah.
You know, and
he's not country, he's too pop.
Yeah.
They said that about Bob Wills.
Sure.
Oh, this is much too modern.
And that's happened.
Well,
forever.
He had drums, mm-hmm. so right. They wouldn't let him play a Grand Ole Opry for years. Uh-huh.
They were acoustic instruments. I never understood that one.
Right.
The Time Jumpers had a live album, didn't they?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So how different was that experience from putting together this album, a studio album?
Not too much. This was a studio record, but still the crux of it is very live. We played in a room together, and the majority of the records are live, of the performances.
Now, right. We're going to go out with Someone Had to Teach You, written by Harlan Howard. He died last year, so did you
Harlan
see this?
Harlan died a long time ago.
Oh. Well, did he? Did you see this as a kind of a tribute as well?
No, it's just a great song. You know, I mean, Harlan Howard had a Hall of Fame songwriting career and is in the Country Music Hall of Fame, but this is sung by Don Sears, who One of the other reasons I wanted to be in this band, I wanted to find a way for the world to hear this girl sing.
Uh-huh.
I think
she's simply the best, isn't she?
One of the greatest singers that the earth has ever produced.
Are you going to be performing live in New York?
We played last night at City Winery. Great
Missed
crowd.
It. Sold
yeah,
out.
Yeah, just across the street.
But you can still get the CD from Rounder Records called The Time Jumpers. And let's go out with this. Are you going to tour a lot?
No, we're too old.
My great thanks to Vince Gill and Ranger Doug Green.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, man.